This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few? That's this show.
Riding in my car, and I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink, and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just gotta call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
I bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what's going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, good to have you listening on a rainy Monday in the ATL. But don't worry, we got a lot in store for you over the next 4.5 hours tonight, Mike, because the Hawks are in Philadelphia.
Now, normally I'd say I need 5 hours to tell you about everything that went down over the weekend, but in my present condition, 6.5 sounds about right.
No, I hear you, brother. How you feeling, by the way, coming off of what was an amazing 4 days, 3.5 days or whatever there in Vegas, and an amazing fight? If you missed it, you didn't get the pay-per-view over the weekend, I know you've heard by now. But, Mike, we got our money's worth, you know, for going out there as far as we wanted a good fight. We ended up getting, I think, something that nobody expected, though, with Tyson Fury.
Yeah, I mean, it's rare in boxing when guys tell you, well, I got my plan. Everybody's got a plan. The famous Mike Tyson, everyone's got a plan until they're punched in the mouth. But it was really wild, and by now you guys have seen the post-fight analysis. But if you remember hearing Tyson Fury on our show a week before the fight, he told us exactly what he was going to do, and he executed it exactly the way he laid it out. He went and worked with Kronk Jim, wanted to work on knockout power, wanted to work. And the guy was already a great boxer, but he specifically wanted to get bigger and stronger to take on Wilder. And he did exactly what he said he was going to do, and he nearly knocked the man out in the third round.
Yeah, I mean, he pushed the issue. I think, you know, it was after round one, and Mike and I both kind of looked at each other. And if you get a chance to see the replay of this fight, you kind of see that Deontay Wilder is not himself. And what I mean by that is he just didn't look right from the start of the fight. Now, he came out in the second round, and Mike tried to attack a little bit, and I said, okay, he scored better in that round. But from there on, it was all downhill. And the game plan that Tyson Fury had worked perfectly. Guys, here's the bigger news, though. The heavyweight division remains relevant. And now we're going to get a big fight between Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury, which is something that everybody in the boxing world wants. Two big heavyweights, and I think that's what's next. And then for Deontay Wilder, Mike, now you got to kind of sit and wait your turn and get back in the mix.
Yeah, because the big man was winning on points and took your best punch and got up, and then he kicked your butt. So, I mean, with all due respect, even though he does have the right to demand another fight, I don't want to see that fight right now. I want to see Joshua quit ducking guys and stand up and take on Fury. And one of the things we talked about is you and I were on a flight, and there was a bunch of Canadian guys. They all went to high school together from Toronto, and they were all there to see some hockey. And then they went and got the fight afterwards, and they were watching it somewhere at a bar closed circuit. But they were talking about, they didn't know much about Tyson Fury, but guess what? they definitely want to see Tyson Fury's next fight. I think there's a lot of folks out there in America that feel the same way because he's got personality in spades. He's a guy that had a rise and a fall, and now he's the second act, and he's got it together. And it's just a great story. And you heard how entertaining he is by our conversation. He's just a likable guy.
Great personality. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Of course, you can always follow us and chime in on the conversation. 929 The Game. That's our radio station, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Follow Mike Bell at Mike Bell ATL, and I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, the radio show, Dukes and Bell 929. Now, while we were out there, obviously there was a lot going on, and we'll get you caught up between now and 6:30 on all the things that we got a chance to check out and how we had some bad beats. But the Hawks get a win that is now being protested, Mike, by the Dallas Mavericks and Mark Cuban, their owner, because they didn't like the call at the end of the game, but yet their stars weren't on the floor.
Yeah, my first reaction when I saw that, you got a lot of huevos, man. I mean, the two-minute report that comes out, which I don't know even why the NBA does this, because you set yourself up for more of these type of appeals, which you're never going to grant anyway. But you don't start your starters. You know, you would have been a 15-point favorite, and you come in here, or maybe whatever you think, 10-point favorite, and you come in here and you lose. Anyone I talk about a ticky-tack goaltending penalty, which, yes, in the grand scheme of things, is it worth a look? Sure. But it just, to me, you guys don't get the right to bellyache when you don't bring and put your best team on the floor and deprive people who paid good money to see a Luka Trey battle not get half of it. Which goes back to this load management garbage, or, oh, he's injured. You know what? The NBA, and I don't know how you do it with the union. You and I have already chopped this up a million times, but this is getting ridiculous, especially for Hawks fans.
Well, I mean, listen, the first time Luka and Trey played this season, oh, they didn't. The second time Trey and Luka matched up, they didn't. How is this going to happen? Twice in a season, where two guys who are obviously linked, not because they want to, but because of what happened in the draft, and everybody wants to see him, not necessarily a mano on the floor, but at the same time being on the floor, and this dude misses both matchups this year. We only see the Mavs twice because they're in the Western Conference.
Right. The first of the two was more legitimate, but this time around, it's like, it really was. It's just that classic load management nonsense. So that's what I think in the court of public opinion.
Do we know if the first one was legit or not?
You don't bring your starters and you put them on the floor. I don't want to hear about how you feel like you got hosed at the end of the game, that you should have been dominating if you had your stars on the floor. So hope the NBA just says pound sand, Cuban, because he's been down this road before with them.
Well, listen, he's going to come out of some money. He could have just cut us a check. I mean, if he's handing out checks, he could have just cut us one. But Cuban does this because he has it out for the officials. Now, listen, everybody complains about the officials. They're bad. At times, they're awful in the NBA.
Normally, I agree with Mark Cuban 100 times out of 100, but not when it involves my team, because he's right. NBA officiating, like the NFL, is not up to par.
Well, but here's the thing, though. It is also, I think, the hardest game to call. You're talking about 6'7", 6'8", 7-foot guys running down the floor, all of them, at any time. You could call a foul every time down the floor. We always said that. So I understand that aspect, but this call was simple. As John Collins was putting the tip back, he was in motion. The tip is good. Continuation. The rules stayed as such, and I just didn't think it was that big of an argument. Hawks win 111-107. Tonight, as I mentioned, they are in Philly taking on the 76ers. Pregame at 6:30. Tips at 7 right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Big week, obviously, with Atlanta United as well. Mike, CONCACAF Tuesday, and then Friday we're headed up to Nashville for a big show up there. We'll tell you more about where we're going to be. And then Saturday, Atlanta United in their first MLS matchup against Nashville SC.
Yeah, man, going to be thousands of United fans making the trip up to Nashville. We're going to have a live broadcast, as Carl mentioned, on Friday. We got Montauk coming up on Tuesday. We'll be over at Twin Peaks, guys, tomorrow from 2 to 7. Then we'll head on up right up the street, literally right up the street, to Fifth Third Bank Stadium on the campus of Kennesaw State, where we've always had, knock wood, real good success, whether it's in U.S. Open Cup or in CONCACAF. Intimate setting. I got my tickets. Hope you guys do have yours. There's still a few available out there on the secondary ticket market. But a lot of United love as we're getting ready for the season. Can't wait.
All right, man. 404-741-0929. It is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. As always, we are live inside the Kia studios. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. This is the week for football fans that we all wait for. It's the 1 week, week and a half in the offseason that we all get excited to watch guys in shirts and T-shirts, shorts, running around, half naked, and we all get excited because we see guys that we hope that our teams are looking at and we hope that they end up getting. The reality is that never happens, hardly ever, and guys go to the combine, Mike, and perform well, and guys go to the combine, and some guys don't perform well. But we're all watching, and this year, here's the difference. It's in prime time. So for the first time, the NFL is doing something a little different. And I think they saw the success that they had with the NFL draft and how we, love it. And they said, well, why don't we do that with the combine? So three nights of NFL Combine in prime time, I think the ratings are going to be off the charts.
I don't know if off the – this is a little bit different than the draft. I mean, yes, I'm agree with you. I will watch because I'm always curious to see what the defensive ends – whatever we're looking for, whatever we need here in Atlanta. And last year we were looking for offensive linemen, and you saw a couple of guys that we wound up grabbing. But we'll see. I mean, you're right. Anything with the NFL attached to it, people are going to watch. They'll do a better numbers than the, every NBA game is on. You're right about that. But, you know, the thing that drives me crazy, Carl, is – you know, there's years where we think we're going to go zig, and then the Falcons zag. You know, one year, I told you about the Julio year. When Julio got picked, they move up and make that deal to pick him at number six overall. That year on our radio show, we interviewed every defensive end, because defensive end was the number one need that year. We talked to J.J. Watt and Alden Smith and Kerrigan and all the guys, Carl, that would have been perfect in a Falcon uniform where they were picking. And then, boom! They feel the way to win the NFC is to go with wide receiver. And of course, we're still happy with the results. We got one of the greatest players in the league in Julio Jones. So this year, what do you think it is? I don't know what we're doing in the first round. I think it could be just plain old best athlete.
Yeah, I don't know either. I'd love to tell you what I'd like to see him do. But like I always say, I want to see what happens at the combine and who impresses. And then we start evaluating players. I think one of the reasons why this the eyeballs are going to be on the combine this year is because of the quarterbacks, including our own Jake Fromm, including our own former own Jacob Eason. This quarterback draft, you're familiar with all these guys, and everybody wants to see what they do. And they're going to be doing some different drills, which you'll talk about coming up in the NFL Blitz segment this year, that are going to showcase these quarterback skills. But if you're telling me you don't care about what Burrow or Herbert or Eason or Fromm or Tua or Hurts does, you're lying. Then you're not an NFL fan. You're certainly not a college football fan. And Jordan Love, by the way, also a guy that's getting a lot of love, pardon the pun. But, Mike, we're going to hear hand size, wingspan, height, all of these things. And remember as you watch when it starts on you know, Thursday, I think it's Thursday night, the first night. Remember this. All this stuff, the intangibles are nice, Mike. The physicals are nice. All that. Can he play? Does it? What's his heart? Can the guy get the job done? And some of this stuff you just can't read.
Well, I mean, we've talked about the height issue, and Kyler Murray, thank God he had that extra quarter inch when he was barefoot. Because, you know, that's – but these are the – and we find out these things, like the Bill Polians of the world. And, look, Bill was one of the great general managers and built some championship-caliber teams, but the stuff that came out about, you know, about from the Ravens quarterback.
Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson. Sorry, I was going to say Lamar Murray. That's Kyler Murray's a cousin. But, no, Lamar Jackson, all the stuff that came out there, and you're going, wait a minute. So – I'm with you. I'd love to. You know what the part of the combine is that I'd love to see, but you don't get access to?
The interviews.
The interviews, exactly. Because that's where I want to hear all this stuff that then later on is going to be made up by agents and teams and everybody else who talks about this for a living.
Well, here's what else comes out of the combine. And we're going to be on this over the next few days and talking more about it and hopefully talking about some of these performances and 40 times and all the stuff that we see that will help escalate some of these guys off the board. But the medical reports are the most important thing to come out of the combine. The problem is, Mike, we normally don't get the full medical report. So let's just say, for example, Tua is worse than what's being reported.
Which may be the case.
We will not know, and I'm just saying Mike and I'm talking about generally speaking, the teams will keep that information private, but there will be at some point a team that is either interested or trying to make a move who will leak that info.
And it's always that, you know, they always cover that, even the election surprise, that November surprise or October surprise. In this case, you're right. You're going to have something like the Laramie Tunsil video that got released by the former runner that had video of him smoking some weed in a gas mask.
The timing of that was so ironic.
So, I mean, it is, you're right. You will get some of that out there. I mean, I'm with you. It's the NFL. People are going to watch. There are things that I can take or leave. You know, I don't need to see Rich Eisen run the 40-yard dash for the seventh time. But anyway, there will be folks, like to your point, because it is such a marquee class of quarterbacks, that folks are going to want to see the intangibles.
We got a big show for you. It's Dukes and Bell back in studio. Craig is back as well. Tanned? Man, I didn't know you could get that dark. From
that's
Cabo.
A different shade, man. Yeah, not that you're yellow, man, but that's it. He's looking good. But Teddy Pendergrass over there.
Bo Morgan, executive producing. Coming up, we'll hit some headlines. And the Bravos, spring games. And we got a pretty good performance from a guy that I'm expecting nothing from. So we've been telling you we're headed to Nashville for this weekend. I know it's Monday. We're just trying to help you get your schedule right. Dukes and Bell. And on top of that, you can come and hang out and be at Atlanta United's match. Now, here's what we're going to do, and we're just laying this out for you, so don't start calling and all of that, but we're giving you a chance to be give a heads up on this. Mike, Atlanta United's 76 road trip to Nashville, prize giveaway. All right, you got to tune in to our show tomorrow and Wednesday for a chance to win. Now, here's what it includes. Two tickets to Atlanta United taking on Nashville. So that's for the game on Saturday. Access to Atlanta United's pregame tailgate before the Nashville match presented by 76. And then same-day round-trip bus transportation, also courtesy of 76. So you don't even have to worry about driving. You just win the tickets. You get transportation up, party, hang out, game, transportation back. It's a one-day roadie.
It's a party. It's what it is, brother. It's a nonstop party.
So I think about the fun and shenanigans. You and your boy or your girl having a blast. You don't have to worry about the driving. Leave the driving to them. And you get your drink on, if that's what you're into. Wink, wink. You're going to Nashville. And then as long as you get back on the bus, they don't leave you behind. Get back home.
76, we're on the driver's side. And thanks for them sponsoring this. But it is a cool prize. And it's easy. And again, you don't even have to worry about, well, I don't want to drive up. You don't have to. Just get on the bus. So be listening tomorrow. And Wednesday will give you a chance to win each day two tickets to some lucky Atlanta United fan.
And we decided, we're talking during the commercial break, we'll come up with some really cool trivia questions that only true, hardcore Five Stripes fans would know the answer to.
All right, man. We got a lot more to get to. By the way, guys are texting in and saying they still think that, you know, Deontay Wilder hopefully gets a shot at Fury. Listen, we're not saying he doesn't deserve another shot. This is round two, right? That's the second one. I just think he's going to get beat up again unless he changes some things. So I don't need to see that in the next 6 months.
Right. And as you guys know, we all pick Wilder to win. We're Deontay Wilder fans. We were way ahead of the curve on Bomb Squad when he was still fighting in relative obscurity over in Birmingham. So we love the guy, you know, and we hope the Bronze Bomber gets it back in gear. And this is not by any way means that the career is coming to an end. But there was just some things that went down that you're like, he's never going to be a great boxer. You don't learn how to box at this stage of his career. You know, he's a knockout artist. He's going for that one big punch. We thought that, you know, Fury, by nature of his new approach, the way he explained it, he's like, wow, Fury wants to go toe-to-toe, he's going to get killed. But Fury outboxed him, and the big size advantage and the fact that he got Deontay to get bigger, that didn't help his game. So certainly now the problem is, Carl, I don't know, the market for that fight is kind of lukewarm. Everybody now wants to see the Anthony Joshua Tyson Fury fight,
Yeah. Which
would be at Wembley in front of 100,000 people.
I do too. And by the way, we talked about this, you know, for Fury, I was very excited that he won because he bought my post-game dinner on Saturday night, my post-fight dinner. Mike had a bad beat. I actually won some money on Fury. You could have won a couple of grand on some ponies.
Yeah, but I mean, no, I didn't lose at all, brother. I came up at 1,500 on top. The good news was Georgia Bulldogs. I stopped watching it when they were down at halftime to Vanderbilt. And I even tweeted, stupid me betting on Georgia, hashtag Georgia basketball.
I watched the whole thing.
And if you didn't see the end, we're over at Caesars and I'm watching it. By the way, they've redone Caesars Sports Bar with an unbelievable bar. And it's even more amazing than it always was, the greatest sports book in Vegas. So we're watching this and I'm like, Who's got the ball? It looked like a totally busted play at the end of the game if you didn't see it. And a three-point shot goes in, which covers the 1.5. Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Couldn't believe it. I'm screaming. I had gone back to the room to get something and said, oh, let me see if this is. And I turn it on. It's like 40 seconds left. I'm like, all right, I'm going to watch the end of this and I'll go back down. And that happened. And I know somebody was going, what is going on in that room? I'm in there. Ah, yeah!
Durant, Georgia's got it loose. They're going to have a chance. Deep three.
So I didn't rip up the ticket. I instead said to Tony, I said, you know what we should do? We should go to Joe Stone Crab now and have some stone crabs.
And you did.
So the pictures are all up there. Go to Put 'Em Up, C Dukes, Mike Bell, ATL. Saturday was the ultimate Vegas day drinking expedition. And then we had the big fight, which was great. We also ran into a bunch of celebrities, which was kind of cool.
No, it was a who's who.
We'll tell you more about that at Guy Talk coming up at 3:40.
All right, this just in, and we'll get to some headlines coming up. Also more on the Hawks guys and can they continue this win streak? Because here's the deal, and Mike has been joking about having those odds and betting early in the season, but, you know, you're putting a couple of games together. I don't care if the starters are on the floor or not for Dallas. It was a winnable game. That's games you're supposed to win. You did. But Philly tonight, I think, is without Simmons. Can you continue to put a little run together? Because this is what I told Mike a couple of weeks ago. I said, well, maybe they'll run off 7 or 8 in a row, and we'll feel a lot better about this thing. More on that coming up. But the Falcons are expected, according to Tom Pelissero, to pick up Matt Schaub's $2 million option for 2020. No guarantees, but Atlanta retaining Matt Ryan's veteran backup as it heads into the offseason. He has put that out there I don't know if that's a surprise or not, Mike. We really haven't talked about that.
No, I don't think that's a surprise. I think, you know, Matt is a guy that he does what they're asking for him. He fits with, you know, he fits this scheme. He's played in it. So, you know, I mean, I know for some people they'd like to see us, you know, graft, go pick up the heir apparent to Matt Ryan. There's no reason to waste money on that pick doing that when you got a guy in Matt Schaub who can step in. And you want to put that money and put those draft picks into other areas. I think, you know, there's always going to be interest in getting younger and getting cooler than old Matt Schaub. But if you saw it this year, I mean, Schaub did lose both games that he – actually, all the games that he played in were losses, including when he had to come in the second half against L.A. and then the Seattle game. So, I mean, does that matter to you? That you got to back up when he comes in, they lose? I mean, we were losing games either way. That was part of the 7-game losing streak. Six-game losing streak.
Take me back. It was the Seattle game Matt missed, right? Seattle? Okay. And Schaub had a good game in that contest. Now, again, we had so many more issues this year beyond the backup quarterback.
No, hey. Schaub was the mop-up role. Matt got knocked out against L.A., and then it was the Seattle game that the Matt Schaub started. Went 39 for 52.
Yeah, he played well. Bottom line is, no, I don't have a problem with this. I know some people might. I just don't. Again, this is not our most pressing issue. We have a starting quarterback that we're paying a lot of money to, okay? And this is worst-case scenario that you trust a guy that you're paying now $2 million, which I think is a good deal, Mike, for a veteran backup. And, you know, at the going rate, I think we have more pressing issues to address than worrying about whether Matt Schaub's going to be here or not.
But I do know that, you know, there's going to be folks that come out there and say, look, you know, I mean, I want a guy who can compete. We were terrible before our, you know, the coach figured out which coach should be in which coaching room with which group. These are the losses number 6 and 7 of the season. The one that Matt Ryan got knocked out of, we talked about. Seattle game, Carl, is, you know, we had no run game. There was another game that's one dimensional.
That's why he threw it 51 times.
So, I mean, anybody's throwing 50 times in the NFL, that tells you either you're down the whole game or you got no running game, or in this case, both.
Schaub, by the way, according to Bo's stats there, 74% completions on the year for him. So, for the little playing time and starting time that he did get, you know, again, he played well. But our issues went beyond that. All right, that and more coming up on the Falcons. Right now, let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
All right, let's start with Trey Young, who drills a three, Mike, gets fouled on the play. It's made it 105-104, but we'll get to the play that everybody's talking about.
Trey out into the lane, looks for help, gets it out to Cam Reddish. Cam up top, Trey fires a long three. Bang! And he got fouled on the play! Can you believe it? Trey Mendes again! He did it again! John Collins can't believe it. Trey hits the three, and the Hawks lead by a point, 105-104.
He continues to amaze. That obviously had you in the game. Trey Young talking about wanting to build on these wins, something we've been talking about.
Keep playing hard. I think that's what got us these first two wins, is playing against a really good team in Philadelphia, and they play really well at home. We got to go in there with a sharp mindset and try to get a win, still win on the road.
So the protests for the Mavericks consist of them focusing on a putback by John Collins that gave us a four-point lead with 8.4 seconds to play in the game. That essentially sealing the game, and that is the play that Cuban went off on the refs.
Right, and you know, again, I think you get the continuation, as you explained in the first break. Mavericks see it the other way. And like, as I said, normally I would agree with Mark Cuban. I think this one's a bit ticky-tack. But Cuban has been trying to raise the bar for officiating. There's nothing wrong with that. Some people think he's just a squeaky wheel. But the NBA, let's be honest. You know, there's a lot of times in big playoff moments where you think, wow, these refs are just awful. You know, on our 60-win season, we get jobbed in those games against Cleveland. Remember that when Dellavedova is like submarining guys, lose Al Horford? So, I mean, I understand everybody's got a beef with an NBA ref over the course of the season, but Mark has kind of taken it to the next level and paid for it out of his own wallet.
Hey, we were talking about the fight being out there in Vegas. If you missed it, we do want to take you there and let you hear a little bit of what it sounded like with the TKO victory as Fury beat Wilder.
Wilder just coasting back into that neutral corner, and now Fury's looking to split the guard as Wilder's in bad shape. This fight is over. This TKO victory. There is only one. There is only one. Crown the king, the lone undefeated heavyweight champion of the world, Tyson Fury.
Now, Mike, the towel. Did you still have an issue with
it? Well, you've got trainer on trainer violence in the Deontay Wilder camp. One of the trainers saying, you know, that wasn't my. Go out on your shield, man. But I guess from where he was seeing it, it looked like his boy was getting hit repeatedly. Those were not power punches that were hurting him. And technically, Deontay Wilder throws the last punch of the fight. But the towel is in midair and landing in the ring. And for millennials, that's what throwing in the towel comes from, is when your boxing trainer goes, Save my man. Throw in the towel.
Throw it in.
So could he have stayed? Yes. He could have come out the next ring, entered the bell for the next ring, and probably took another beating. So I think everybody watching that fight felt you were just prolonging the inevitable.
Yeah, I felt that way too. And then when you hear about the busted eardrum and surgery.
I mean, and that's part of why he looks so wobbly. Now we understand you're bleeding out of the ear, not, you know, from a cut, from an eardrum burst. That's a major situation against the guy who was just dropping bombs on you. So, again, I have no problem with him throwing in the towel, although the timing did seem, at the time, strange.
All right, Braves spring training continues. We'll let you hear from Cole Hamels, who is there now, but no word on when he will actually start pitching again. But when we come back, hey, some stuff that happened that we got to talk about over the weekend. And if you missed it, stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell. So as we speak, they are speaking in L.A. Today is the memorial for Kobe and Gianna at the Staples Center, Mike. And you're looking around now. Of course, it's, you know, what, noon out there? But it is everyone that could possibly be there in the NBA, from stars to guys you probably never heard of. Obviously, this was open to the public. Kobe and Gianna have been laid to rest. But we want to mention this because this will be all over the news later, and you'll be getting the chance to see some of the folks who are speaking. And Vanessa did show up. There were some questions as not whether or not she was actually going to show, and she did.
Yep, and we watched a little bit of that. Obviously, you can imagine how emotional the scene is there at Staples. But we watched a little bit of it earlier, and you'll see it tonight when you get home on SportsCenter. Yep.
So, with that said, I mean, that's out there, but I know people are you know, trying to follow that on social media and whatnot, and we did want to at least acknowledge it, something that we won't focus on, but you'll get a chance to see the coverage when you get around to it. Hey, quick reminder, tune into the morning show each Thursday, 7:40 on Thursdays. It's John and Hugh interview Coach Lloyd Pierce, brought to you by BMW. That is each and every Thursday. So, we were talking about the Hawks and you know, potentially another win streak here, and if they beat the 76ers tonight, maybe you start to feel a lot better about this team in the second half of the season. I don't know if the playoffs are completely out of the question, like Mike says. Until the math says they're done, they're not done. But here's the irony. Like, Milwaukee has already clinched a playoff spot. 56 games of the season, they clinched.
And they surpassed, by the way, the Warriors record for both the earliest in games and the earliest in calendar date for a clinch of a playoff in NBA history. How about that? Now, again, you could argue, sure, the East is down, but it's still, I mean, you know what? You do what you're supposed to do then, beat up on the lesser competition. But, you know, Coach Bud and the Bucks have got things rolling right now.
Yeah, it's been impressive, man. As we were talking about Braves and the pitching, Mike, I do want you to hear a little bit of Cole Hamels, who, again, with the injury, he wasn't there at the start of spring. He's there now. Braves obviously playing every day, spring training games, and you know, I'm not overly excited. It's good to hear King Felix had a good outing. You know, it's good news.
I mean, it's better than, you know, he gave up like 7 home runs in a row. You know,
right.
I mean, so there's some good things. And you know, when we heard about Snicker saying he was going to see the younger guys get a shot early, and we're going to give the veterans no sense in pushing them, give the veterans plenty of time off early. And Pache and Waters, they're not disappointing. They've all got the swagger. I heard Dave read some of Dave O'Brien's blogs on it. Young guys are out there looking to impress and, you know, force the Braves to make a tough decision, whether to break camp with them or without them or just bring them up in May. But that would certainly be a boost. If Pache and Waters are ready to rake in the show, then, man, all of a sudden you're not feeling so bad about replacing Josh Donaldson's production. When you got a Ozuna and Acuna, and, yes, you can still use Nick in right field, but you got options now.
Let's hear from Cole Hamels on his role right now in this clubhouse.
I feel good, you know, just been able to make, you know, some really good improvements. You know, I think just the unfortunate part not being able to be here from day one. But, you know, at the same time, just really trying to, you know, maximize each day and just get healthy and you know, so that I can be out here with the guys.
So, you know, obviously we talk about, you know, veteran leadership. Freddie is obviously that guy. Mark Cakes, you've got some great veterans in this clubhouse. And here's another guy that's been around and won a lot of games. And now, you know, you enter him into this mix. I think we've got a nice mix. I think you need that, Mike. You can't have, like we've seen with the Hawks this year, you can't have all young guys and expect to do well, even though, you know, Vince Carter is there, but we talk about it. Guys that can still play and contribute to the team.
But, I mean, I got to see Cole Hamels be able to pitch. You know, he had a really good start for the Cubbies, and then, unfortunately, in the second half, we talked about it after the Braves signed with that one-year, $18 million deal. It's just a little disheartening when you find out the guy's not going to be ready to go, although he is there, and he's starting to do as much work as he can as he strained his shoulder in preparation for spring training. But, you know, eating some innings, that's what we're looking for. You know, you need that kind of, like, Anibal Sanchez we mentioned a couple of years back, because some other young guys are going to really, hopefully, show that they can do this job as well, whether that's Ian Anderson. I think Kyle Wright's probably the next guy to step up and be the man.
Here is Cole Hamels talking about mentoring our young pitchers.
I've been very fortunate enough to be around some really good veterans when I was younger. So it just takes time, and in non-stressful situations, spring training is really just a positive place to be around, because guys are really trying to get their work in.
So this is where you gain some confidence. We heard, I think it was Max Fried talking about a four-seamer, trying to add some pitches and do some different things. This is the time. This is where you work on it. Well, last season, once we got into the season, and you kept talking about what's the big lefty you were talking about potentially starting.
Sean Newcomb getting back to being a starter.
Yeah, this is where, Mike, if he's going to be that guy, this is where he's going to get it done. So, for a guy like Sean Newcomb, if he's going to get back into the starting rotation, it's not going to be 3 weeks into the season and all of a sudden now, he's getting another tryout. It is for him to get it done now, and that's why this is open.
And we mentioned the young guys, bro. We've been talking so much about you can't touch Christian Pache. You cannot touch Waters. Pache and Waters, by the way, contributing for a couple of runs and making things happen in the top of the first today. They got three runs, Carl. A two-run single from Drew Waters, an RBI single from Christian Pache. Two Braves outfield prospects also had a double steal in the same inning, according to our buddy Dave O'Brien down there in Northport. That's what you want to see.
Well, listen, the offense, I'll wait till the season starts. I'm just hoping, as you said, they can replace the numbers. That's the formula. We'll see. I mean, I got to see Austin Riley on a daily basis. I cannot. If you were telling me right now, and I am a betting man, but if you were telling me, all right, how much would you put on Riley starting this season out, and we get to May, and he's still the starter at third base? Like, is he the guy at third base by the month of May?
Well, there's still some people out there that feel that putting some pressure on Riley is maybe not the way to go, and let him start in Gwinnett, which I think he's mentally and from a from a standpoint of confidence and feeling he's ready to rock. I would love to see him just rip the cover off the ball. And then he's with the team when they break camp, and he's not going to have to start in Gwinnett. But that's what we're here for. That's what these games are all about. And to your point, he said he did the work every time he's made that leap to the next level. The second year has been the year where he really breaks through. That first month just whetted everybody's appetite, then it kind of pulled the rug out from under us.
So, and by the way, May is first month of the season. Like, my point is, what if he tears the cover off, and then you're going, yeah, and then he tails off in June. I mean, 2-3 months, and I always say July 4th, Mike, you kind of get a feel for your team, right? It's like three games into the NFL season. You kind of know what's working, what's not working, hopefully. Mm-hmm. 404-741-0929, talking Braves with you. More on the Braves coming up, and more with Drew Waters, as a matter of fact, as he went on Fox Sports South and was talking about what he's been learning at camp. And hopefully, again, we get a chance to see these guys. But I just don't think with the money involved, there's any rush to bring these guys
up. No, as we saw, whether you saw it with Chris Bryant with the Cubbies, you don't want to get that first off. The Braves want it too. Same thing we said about Acuna 2 years ago. You want that max control in those years that you're arbitration eligible to keep them in the fold, and that's understandable. But, hey, man, these are the young guns. We've been heard so much about them. For Braves fans that are rolling down to Northport, finally get a chance to see them. So Jeff Schultz wrote a little article or a blog. I guess some Braves fans were feeling the access wasn't as good so far at the new facility as it was in Orlando at Wide World of Sports.
What changed?
So, well, apparently the Braves, I guess whoever designed the place, kind of got caught with their pants down as far as access in the practice fields and the things you used to be able to do. So they're working on improving that and access to all the facilities. So apparently, again, there's always going to be some growing pains with the new facility. So the Braves apparently taking at least the fans' complaints to heart and making some adjustments.
Our old buddy who now works for Star, one of our sister stations, Mark Owens, I saw a video from him over the weekend where he was kind of touring the stadium, and it looks great. I mean, obviously, these spring training facilities are cool, but I guess, for fans, you're right. That's the stuff you want to see. I want to be able to go see my favorite pitcher pitch, right, or at least do a bullpen session. Or if a guy is, taking BP, I want to be able to be as close to the action, because this is why people go to spring training. I mean, honestly, if you don't go to games, this is the most access and as close as you'll get to these guys.
Over the weekend, guys, also, we had some great college basketball. We already talked about Georgia pulling one out up in Nashville. We said don't beat, a team like Auburn only to lose to the worst team in the SEC. And they did, and they got it done all in dramatic fashion. Tech falls to Syracuse. But the big story, Carl, from the weekend was Kansas and Baylor. As Kansas snaps that Baylor win streak, they hadn't lost at home. And how about Jayhawks, man? They've got the toughest strength of schedule. They've got all the things would make them the number one overall seed if they keep on rolling like this.
It was a great game. Baylor is a very good team as well. This is not a team that's overrated. Both of these teams could be in Atlanta come, April, first weekend of April for the Final Four. But going on the road and beating Baylor in Waco, that was the key for Saturday's matchup against Kansas, or against Baylor, should I say, for Kansas. And, Mike, they just dominated the paint. That was the thing. So as we amp up our coverage as far as, getting ready for the NCAA tournament, and if you're not aware, the Final Four is here in Atlanta this year. But I loved watching this game. It was up-down tempo. Both teams shot the ball well. but they are definitely two of the best teams in the country.
As Deshaun Tate would say from Tate's Take Sports, our college basketball expert, yeah, Duke Azubuike, that's the man. He goes for 23-19 and three boards. And again, yeah, old Bill Self could have a team. You're right, Carl. Could look great here at Mercedes-Benz.
What is going on at the Combine? Numbers already coming in on guys' hand size. We'll talk about that and more in our NFL Blitz next. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.